Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout, podcast where two bearded film fans watch the best and worst horror movies of all time. My name is Luke Condor with Kate, and I'm joined by my regular co-host, Mr.
Ben Errington.
How the hell are you?
I'm alright, mate. How are you? Are you quarantined?
Am I quarantined? I don't think that's any of your business, Ben.
I'm always a bit forward, aren't I?
I'm working from home, if that answers your question.
Yeah, I think it does. Okay. I'm not. I'm still being forced to go into the office with the rest of the cattle.
On the front lines.
So essentially, I'm right in the thick of it. But, you know, if I'm going to get it, I'm going to get it, right?
It just means you'll get over it quicker. Because we're all going to get it. Everyone's going to get it. That's when we're first born, we know we're going to get it.
we've been on a journey all the way to this since birth.
Now we
just in case anyone was wondering, we are talking about coronavirus.
Yeah.
There's someone out there who might be like, "What are you all about?"
Nah, I doubt it.
It's everywhere now, isn't it?
It's everywhere. Okay, so we've got coronavirus going on. I've got a can of pop. You've got a can of whoop ass.
I got some coffee.
Coffee. Not a can of whoop ass.
I ran out of them.
We watched a film that we've been saying we're going to watch for a long time, I believe. But have we got any news? I had a quick look and...
Yeah. Well, obviously, we're a bit light on the news. So I guess we're going to have to talk about all horror and genre-related projects that have been affected by the coronavirus pandemic. And I'm sorry to keep going on about this, right? I know it's going to annoy some people, but you know. We need to briefly touch upon it before we can allow you to forget about the current impending doom by listening to two idiots talk about a horror film.
Shouldn't be touching upon
anything. Let's get this one up. No, shouldn't be touching upon anything. Shouldn't be touching cloth or anything. So A Quiet Place 2 was going to come out this week. That's been bloody postponed indefinitely. So obviously the promo train was pretty much at full speed for that. And last week it got pulled. Done. Who knows when we're going to see this, Luke? What do you think?
I am quite excited about it. And you are right. The train left and was on the rails, and then we missed it. Or like it feels like the train's been cancelled. I don't know. Floods.
Do you think that should these companies, right, just stick these films on demand, seeing as so many people are going to be at home anyway?
No.
Oh!
Someone was talking about this before. So why not just make them digital downloads? If they did that, they will destroy the cinema companies. Like, because people will watch all these things that are going to make the cinemas a lot of money. They're probably putting a lot of sort of eggs into the basket. So being able to premiere A Quiet Place and that kind of thing. As soon as everyone's watching them at home, which most people would anyway, they're probably going to pirate them. But the cinemas are going to lose out on so much of that wonga. So much of that tasty wongas is going to slip out.
I think it completely It depends. So the cinema industry, so the box office Hollywood film industry, mm-hmm. was the lowest since the late 90s. I read today when Bring It On was in cinemas. That was the last time things were this bad in terms of making so much money. And obviously, I guess we've had,
yeah.
we had The Hunt and we had Bloodshot out on Friday. So not like terrible like choice of what's going to be out. A couple of quite interesting ones. I decided to go and watch one of those. So did you?
Yeah.
But yeah, so essentially, if it seems like this is going to be for a little while mm-hmm. of completely stopping any sort of social interaction, then surely putting something on demand is going to make up accrue a little bit of that longer, rather than just completely lose out for weekends on end.
Well, I
mean, I'll put that to you, Luke Condor.
Yeah, the production companies and the financiers. Yeah, but not the cinemas. The cinemas that.
You mean the actual cinemas? I got you.
Yeah, the cinemas are going to lose out on tons of money.
That makes a lot more sense.
It's like they had product that they thought they were going to have to sell, and they maybe staffed up for it, put posters up, and we know those posters are expensive.
So, do you think if the government say, "Don't go out, don't go to the cinema, don't be in a group of more than however many people,"
eventually we're all just going to go around in those zorbs to the cinema?
Yeah,
wheeling ourselves in bubble boy style.
I like going to the cinema as well, and I especially like going to the cinema when there's hardly anybody there. So it's not something I kind of think of as being my number one social.
Yeah, I prefer if we had a cinema each. That would be ideal.
Yeah. Let's put that to them. Cinemas each for people.
Boris, sort us out.
Boris, cinemas each. Come on, everyone should have a cinema. Everyone should have a restaurant, and everyone should have like a bowling complex. That's the holy trinity there.
Yeah.
You'll be entertained for at least an evening.
Have you
great stuff?
So, in terms of entertainment, have you got like stuff to do at home? What are you going to be doing to entertain?
Oh yourself? Yeah. Well, I'm still at work. I'm still currently.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Other than the obvious. Other than stroking. Small animal. I'm still at work, so I think life hasn't really changed drastically for me currently.
It will, though. Do you not think? Do you think your office will say you lot need to go home?
I kind of hope so, but at the same time, I don't know. I feel like they got their claws in currently, and I don't know why. Because I work for a company that's like the alcohol industry, so if people stop going to pubs and restaurants and clubs, people are going to stop selling alcohol. Like we're not going to be needed while this is going down.
Yeah,
I mean it is pretty terrifying. We discussed this before we recorded. Like it's pretty scary stuff. Like I was definitely a couple of weeks ago going, "Don't worry about this shit. Come on, we're better off." The government wants us scared so they can control us.
Yeah,
and I still believe that to a degree. At the same time, like this is starting.
I mean, if they're trying to scare us or not, it's still going to have an impact on like our jobs and finances and. The way,
yeah,
I don't know the way the country goes in the next year.
What's scary about this stuff is that we don't really know when it's going to end. When's the like end?
Yeah,
the end game. When do we know when this is going to like finish? And will it have constant repercussions that like last for years on end? Probably. But to answer that question, I've got loads of stuff to do. I've got games. I've got games of
so
not
many games.
Played. Yeah. I've got books I've not read. I've got never-ending cycle of films that I want to watch. The only thing I need to worry about is like sustenance and wiping my ass, because obviously people are really take that on terms of people's list of like keeping entertained, fed and watered. Wiping their ass seems to be right at the top on that list, which I've got a lot of respect for people for that.
I always buy bulk buys a toilet roll. It's just cheaper and you just keep it in the house. I mean, there's nothing worse than running out of toilet roll.
Listen. If that's what you're saying, Luke, and again, I respect you for that. I've never usually got more than four. Four is like my limit.
You don't have to be too tempted. Four sheets at a go, if you've got that like too many, I know what you mean.
I'll be going mad.
I've got like a palace, like a fort made of them.
It's showing off, but currently, but despite that, I bought a pack of 9 recently, which for me was really pushing the boat out.
Big spend.
That was nuts. Other things that have been postponed. The New Mutants, which feels like it's been
oh really again
like pushed back, postponed forever.
By the time it comes out, it would be the old mutants.
It would be the bloody old mutants. All the actors and the actresses in these films will be 10 years older in real life than they were in this film. So that Guillermo del Toro produced Antlers, which we spoke about briefly, has been postponed as well. So that's been postponed, even though it wasn't supposed to be released until April the 13th. Stranger Things 4, the work on that has been postponed. Walking Dead and Fear of the Walking Dead, like shooting of that, has been postponed. Jurassic World Dominion, which recently started shooting, that's been postponed. Matrix 4 and The Batman, both been postponed as well. I mean, these are things that are going to affect our day-to-day lives, Luke.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, well, maybe people can start watching old films again. People don't watch old films anymore. It's always got to be the films that came out this month. Why not films that came out last month?
This month last year.
Yeah. Classics.
I feel like I need to keep like laughing and making jokes about it, though, because I feel like if I don't, I'll be crippled by fear and depression.
Yeah.
So as many jokes as you've got, keep firing them at me. I want to hear them all.
All right.
But not ones that disrespect too many people, because people are dying. But, ones that make light of human nature.
Yeah. You ever notice that coronavirus is a bit like that name of that popular beer brand? Peroni.
Oh, yeah. It is similar, isn't it? A few letters.
Amazing.
I mean, don't mean to disregard that joke, Luke, but is that beer brand done forever?
Peroni?
Is it finished? The other one.
It's not very. I've got some Corona. I bought some Corona yesterday. I'm gonna drink it.
Have you got coronavirus? Have you got a lime in your neck? That's the first symptom.
A lime in your neck. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the first symptom of coronavirus. You end up with a lime segment in your neck. You have to cough it up. Cough it up.
I'll let you know how my neck goes in the next couple of days. I'm going to, after this podcast, I'm going to go drink a Corona, and I'm going to bloody well enjoy it. No matter what Boris says.
I respect you for that.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck. All right. Okay. Some more news. So we're going to get we're keeping up Resident Evil 3 news every week on this news section. So I'm going
to
keep
the
going.
The podcast that people go to find out the latest on Resi 3.
True. All the official Resident Evil channels are completely void when it comes to the news. It's us. So we're gonna get a demo for Resident Evil 3. It's dropping on March the 19th, so this Thursday. No word yet whether it's gonna be like a one shot demo, which Resident Evil 2 was like, where you kinda like have a certain time to get to a certain place, or whether it's gonna be.
That was pretty good. That was like an event in itself. So maybe they'll do a similar thing. Yeah.
Exactly. So very, very interesting. I'm going to be getting onto that. I might do a little playthrough video as well, possibly, because I love that shit. But yeah, very excited. Glad to get my hands on it. And hell yeah. Was there anything else? I feel like there was something else, but I can't remember. Have you got any news?
No news, I'm afraid. Which is good news.
No news. That's it. Basically, coronavirus is the news. Because the thing is, if we get news and trailers about films, all anyone's going to think at this current time is, when will it be released?
That fucking...
It's really strange.
When you go to the cinema and it says, now for everybody's favourite part of the movies, the trailers, I think, fuck off.
Just... Fuck off. Fuck off,
Yeah.
Okay, I got one more.
Yeah.
One more. Another gaming one. Doom Eternal is going to be released on Friday.
Doom
Eternal. Which, might be a really satisfying... Doom Eternal. Basically, it's the girl band Eternal from the 90s. And they've been put into... hell has invaded their recording studio, and you've got to, like, fight your way out.
I mean, I need to finish the first one.
That's probably going to be...
As in the...
Please finish the
remake.
First one.
Yeah.
First Doom Eternal. it's going to be a perfect way to, like, distract yourself by mowing down loads of hellish demons, and I guess think ourselves lucky that we haven't been invaded by flesh-eating hell demons.
Feeling so bad. There's no hell demons.
It's so bad, mate. Life's all right. Yeah. We're doing all right, aren't we? We're doing all right.
Yeah.
We're all doing all right. Yeah. So that's pretty much it. Luke Condor, what have you been watching this week?
Let's talk about the big film on everyone's lips, the tips of their lips, The Hunt. I had no interest in watching this at all. I mean, from the trailers, which I didn't enjoy watching, it set it up as in a, it's a bog standard. Some rich people steal some poor people and they're going to hunt them down. It seemed like the Ready or Not genre, a bit Battle Royale, a bit, you know, all the standard stuff. But I didn't expect this film to be so playful and twisty-turny and kind of satirical in a sort of stupid way, in a stupid, fun, South Park-y kind of way.
Yeah, I mean, if anyone's looking at this film and finding it genuinely offensive for any reason, like I've seen a lot of right-wing people, left-wing people sort of saying it sends up this, sends up that, like it clearly knows what it's doing and it doesn't take itself seriously at all.
I thought the
it doesn't take...
Go on.
You go on.
I think at the start, like there's like... this is sort of spoilers, I guess, but not really. But at the start, it keeps introducing the person who thinks the main character, and then they get killed.
Yeah.
And it keeps happening. And then there's a person who falls into like a thing of spikes, and then the main character at that point pulls them out, and then he stands on a landmine, and it blows up, and then she lands back on the spikes. I kind of feel like that cartoonishness there was like, look, this isn't a serious film. Like... this is a sort of a fun, sort of insane film. And it goes there. And what's her name? I haven't seen Chloe. But what's...
Betty Gilpin. She is outstanding.
She's fantastic in this.
She was in The Grudge. She was in The Grudge. And I was like, can't wait to see Betty Gilpin in The Grudge. Grudge was awful. She was really underused. But she is like... I read someone on Twitter where someone said she should basically write the book and I had to be a final girl in like a horror film.
Yeah.
After this film.
Well, on a Guardian review, this film's not been getting great reviews. I think it got 2 stars on Guardian website. And it was all about one of the comments in there. I don't know why I read the comments. It just gets me mad. But there's a person talking about how...
Straight to the comment.
There's a person complaining about horror movies, how they all... It's always about women getting beaten, stabbed, abused in various ways. And I was just thinking, she's obviously not seen this film. Because Betty... What's her name? Gilpin. She's an absolute badass. She's like action star level badass in this film. And it's amazing. Like she's fantastic in it. She really, really is good.
She is good, and it's like it doesn't break the mold in any way, really. There's nothing about this film that I found particularly, you know, mold breaking. However, I did enjoy it, and initially, when films kept, you know, when it was banned sort of last year, and it got and everything on the poster saying it's like so controversial for whatever reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
It seems to be the reason it's controversial is from opinions of people who haven't seen it.
Yeah. It seems people have made their mind up already without having any idea of what it's actually about. So I think it was about 30 minutes into the film because I was like sat back in my chair and I perked up and I sat up and I was like, oh, I have no idea what's going to happen from here now. This is pretty cool. I think I enjoyed it more than you. I saw you gave it 3 stars on a. On Letterboxd.
I'd be more like a four, maybe a bit under a four.
Oh. But I just think it was genuinely quite surprising. See,
I'd probably give it a high 3. I tend to do this thing on Letterboxd where I give it a 3-star, but I also like it. So that's almost like a high 3 for me.
There's a bit that really made me laugh.
I don't think it goes.
With the, there's the shopkeepers and the guy starts drinking the drink and she screams that it's poison. I won't say anymore, but it's funny. It's
I won't say anymore ever, but there was a bit that made me laugh where a character becomes convinced that another character is basically lying.
Yeah.
And you kind of think, of course he's not lying. And then it reveals revealed that he is lying and that reveals was awesome. I was pissing me pants.
Yeah. It's good. When I think about like this year, we've had The Invisible Man. Something else. Wasn't there something else that was pretty good that came out this year so far? At the cinema? I feel like we're doing pretty well this year already for horror movies.
Yeah, I mean I've seen some shit this year. I mean I've already seen The Grudge, The Boy 2, Fantasy Island.
Oh, man.
These are things that I didn't particularly enjoy. Yeah. But The Hunt, that's a middle of the road one. And then things like Underwater was good.
Oh, Underwater, that's fun.
Underwater was good. I think we're doing all right so far for March, for horror films at least, not for like real life. Real Life is a real horror movie. Am I right?
Yeah, I'm just having a flick through my quarter one films. So look at this. So like, these are like the more the horror-y type of ones, I guess. Under the Silver Lake, which is sort of horror-ish, but Cut Her Out of Space, which I loved.
Mm-hmm.
Come to Daddy, that was a lot of fun. Daniel Isn't Real, that was a really interesting and fun horror movie. Invisible Man.
Yeah, enjoyed that.
VFW, didn't really Invisible do
Invisible Man.
And then The Hunt. Yeah, it's some cool films this year.
Oh, so I'm currently just reading that Universal is releasing The Invisible Man, The Hunt, Emma, and a film called Trolls World Tour, which I think is like the third Trolls movie, on demand.
I don't think they should do that. I think our cinemas aren't going to last long if they do this.
I mean, it's a shame because I'm always kind of feel like cinema will never die, and then something like this happens, and it's a bit like, fuck. I think if anything, something like this really shows us how close to the bone.
Yeah.
Every industry is like to being completely obliterated.
But they always say that everyone's always 2 months from homelessness. Like,
yeah.
We're never that far. Maybe that's just to make us feel scared and to keep us working. I don't know.
I'm like terrified, mate.
What about you? Did you watch anything?
So I watched The Hunt. I went and rewatched Monster, the Charlize Theron as Eileen Wuornos.
Never seen it.
Movie. Never seen it. Well, I thought I hadn't seen it, but then when I was watching it, I was like, yeah, I've definitely seen this before. So it's directed by Patty Jenkins, who did Wonder Woman and the soon released Wonder Woman 84, and she hadn't done much else. So I thought that was a bit of an odd
to have
a film that did so well with the Academy Awards and then not make anything for so long. But Charlize Theron just pretty much disappears into the role of Eileen Wuornos, and I guess it kind of presents the crimes in a way that doesn't kind of make you side with anybody. Like, you know their crimes and you know that she's a serial killer, but you kind of understand her, but you don't like think that she's right, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know where I stand on all the line.
The true crime stuff. Like, it just seems to idolize. Maybe not. I've not seen this, but
I don't think it idolizes her. It definitely portrays her as someone who's very damaged, but it kind of explains her past a little bit so you kind of understand why she does what she does. But don't kind of.
There was the Ted Bundy one. I only watched a bit of the documentary, but there was a point where he escaped prison for the second time, and he makes out that he's some kind of ragamuffin sort of
rough and tumble, cheeky sort of guy.
Yeah,
from prison again.
Wow, what a cheeky dude! But he was he murdered tons of people, like in really like horrible ways. So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about all that, but. Yeah, I've not seen it. I will watch it. Apparently, it's good.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I also watched a film called Swallow. Have you heard of this?
I've not even heard of it, but you put it in the Facebook group. It looks good from the poster.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'd only just heard of it sort of like last week. The poster's great, yeah. The poster's really good. But this is a film directed by Carlo Mirabella Davis, who's done something else, maybe. Anyway, so it's about Hunter, a newly pregnant housewife, finds herself increasingly compelled to consume dangerous objects.
What does that mean?
And it's like, she eats things. So she eats like marbles, thumbtacks, batteries, sharp things, scary things, things that should definitely kill her. Yeah, and it's almost like...
Is it good?
It's a weird, like there's a lot of sort of, there's obviously metaphors for stuff and there's obviously a lot of subtext. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was a really good, quite arty. Quite slow burn, but a really good performance from the main actress. Hayley Bennett is the main actress in that. I really liked it. It was kind of like, it was unnerving and unsettling, and you're constantly thinking like where it was going to go next. And it wasn't, I've read a few things that say it's like quite body horror-ish, but I wouldn't say it was like that at all. Again, another film which could probably easily not sit within the horror genre, but it is labeled as a horror film.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
And apart from that, anything else?
Well, read a book, a sort of horror-y book that's pretty good. It's called The Flesh Moulder's Love Song by a guy called Roland Blackburn. And it's about a guy whose mum, his aunt even, has cancer. She's going to die. And at some point he realises that he has a sort of a power. He can mould flesh in any way he sort of wants to. So it starts out, he gets mugged and he accidentally grabs this mugger's hand and the guy swells into a big tumescent mass, and he runs away. And then from there, he realizes that he can sculpt himself. He can sculpt people into better looking versions of themselves. Give himself a longer penis.
Gonna make,
or a shorter
make
one.
Bloody look. Does he do that? Does he give himself a longer penis?
I think it may be being implied.
It may have been implied. Suddenly, his knob is long.
End of chapter. And then, that was actually a really long chapter, that one. And then he gets crazy. These people are sort of chasing him. And also, he decides that he needs to take this cancer out of his mum, his aunt even. But that's a bad thing. But yeah, it's decent. It's really cool. It's really decent.
Because he's got to take it. Has he got to take the cancer into himself? Is that why?
I'm not going to say. I will say, been playing a lot of Shadow of Colossus as well, which is the remake game. It's not horror, but it's a sort of a dark fantasy sort of game. Have you played it?
So I've played bits of it, but I never played it that much back in the day. But I have downloaded it on PlayStation to play. Obviously, now that things are, we have a lot of time on our hands. Are we playing that?
Yeah, it's a weird one. You play a guy, I can't remember his name, David or something like that, and his wife Janet is dead, and he's kind of bring her back to life, and he has to do. There's all these colossus around this desolate, empty fantasy world, and he has to go around killing all these giant creatures, which are sort of like giant cows. Like, they all sort of have a sort of bovine, playful... They don't look like they deserve to be killed. And they're not evil creatures. So there's a weird thing where you finally manage to kill one. You feel proud, but you also feel really... The music comes in. You're like, I've done a bad thing.
I should have killed that colossus.
Yeah. If ever I hear that music again, doesn't matter what I would have done. If I've just washed the pots, but I've left one on the side. I'll hear that music again. Oh no, I've done a bad thing.
Better wash all the pots.
Gotta do that last pot.
I bought over the weekend, and I've been playing a little bit the Blair Witch game on PlayStation as well.
Yeah,
seems pretty interesting so far. Quite an interesting take on the story. Well, on the premise, sorry, of there being a bloody Blair Witch in the woods.
Is it like this guy called Ellis? Resi 7 Outlasty sort of horror?
I guess so. But I mean, I don't think I've quite delved into the horror elements of it enough yet.
Okay.
Currently I've got a dog with you called Bullet, who kind of has got lots of different controls and different things you can do with the dog. It's kind of all built around that, like the dog finding things and you following the dog and all that jazz.
Mm-hmm.
You've got like PTSD, so it's all a bit, you know, wobbly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean by that. It gets all a bit wobbly.
Does the controller get wobbly?
Yeah, so controller gets a bit wobbly. So I like it so far, but you know, maybe a bad time to start it, because with the Resident Evil 3 demo coming out and the new Doom game coming out, I'm worried that I'm probably going to get distracted. But you know, I wanted to give it a go, so let's give it a go.
Yeah, there you go. Other than that, I've just I watched a lot of Hell's Kitchen. It's what I do when I'm.
All right.
When I'm not wanting to invest emotionally or mentally into anything, just put Hell's Kitchen on. Why not?
Yeah, I like that. I like a bit of Hell's Kitchen. I do the same, but I watch Catfish on MTV.
Well, yeah, we've been through all of those.
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating. I'm not really one for reality TV, but this is
almost
kind of
every time it's some. The format always works out pretty much the same. There was that one guy who he turned out to be a guy who was trying to... We didn't know if he was gay or not. Have you seen that one? It's like the most famous...
Was it the guy who was like trying to just screw people up and he comes in slow clapping?
Yeah. Yeah, well, obviously you're gay. I don't think so. No. Why you started romantic...
In a sexual relationship...
Why you got me there?
In a sexual relationship with this man for like 2 years or something. And he goes, yeah, well, that's a good point, actually.
Maybe I am.
Yeah, and I also, I've just remembered one other thing. I watched Spirited Away for the first time.
Oh, that's a great
film. A lot of these Studio Ghibli films are on Netflix now, which is going to give me a chance to go watch them. Because I know, again, I don't think I've seen them, like any of them, which probably sounds mad. Yeah,
we had a big DVD box.
Spirited Away.
Go on, sorry.
Okay. Spirited Away has got loads of horror elements in it.
Yeah.
Some of this stuff's like truly distressing.
Yeah, yeah.
Pigs, like the face, the no face ghost dude, and just the story in general is like pretty horrible. Like a kid, basically, parents just turn into pigs, and she's suddenly working in a bathhouse. It's messed up.
Yeah, getting a job. Okay. Horror. We had like the box set, so we went through tons of them. Graveyard of the Fireflies is the truly grueling one. I wouldn't recommend to anyone looking for a good time.
What other ones would you recommend then for me? So I think I've got My Neighbor Totoro wrap up next. And
that's not,
not
my favorite. A lot of people like that one, but that's not my favorite. Princess Mononoke is a sort of a dark fantasy. That's really good.
Tales from Earthsea.
I've not seen that one, I think. What's the one? Howl's Moving Castle is great.
Let's give all these a go. Let's give all these a go. I've got one on the list, mate.
Yeah, Castle in the Sky. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Spirited Away is, and Ponyo as well. That's a good one. Yeah, Spirited Away and Howl's Moving Castle, they're my favourites. Yeah.
Yeah. Sweet. I'll get on it.
Yeah. But Nightbreed, the director's cut, right? We watched the same one.
We did watch the same one, yeah. Shall I give you a bit of a
yes, please.
Rundown? So Nightbreed is a 1990 American dark fantasy horror film written and directed by Clive Barker, based on his 1988 novella Cabal, which I'm currently reading, Luke Condor, a 1989 original print, or 1988 original print. It's literally, it's battered. So the film follows an unstable mental patient named Aaron Boone, who is falsely led to believe by his doctor that he is a serial killer. Basically, this isn't a premise. It's basically just telling you the story of the whole film.
Yeah.
So a troubled young man is drawn to a mythical place called Midian, where a variety of friendly monsters are hiding from humanity. Meanwhile, a sadistic serial killer is looking for a patsy. Maybe he's just looking for a pasty.
Maybe he's looking for a pasty. It's basically our real monsters, but like for adults. You've watched it after the monsters.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
this one's a weird one, isn't it? It's not quite as, I mean, with the Danny Elfman soundtrack as well, it's got more of a dark fantasy feel, Cirque du Soleil sort of feel going on to it with it. I mean, I don't know if it's aged as well as Hellraiser and Candyman. I feel like those ones are still kind of scary. This one feels cheesy now.
It almost feels like the budget, the like for the actual practical effects, must have been astronomical, because the amount of different monsters and beasts and just weird things that appear on the screen.
Yeah.
Sometimes for like a split second, I'm like, what? Like, basically, I spent this whole film like this. What the fuck was that? What the fuck?
They're my favorite moments, actually. The bits where it's like people are going through Midian, the city of the demons, and it's like, it's like they're going through a bazaar. It's like if it's like a Turkish bazaar, but not quite as horrible. But it's those are the best bits. I don't like the sort of more Buffy the Vampire Slayer sort of moments in it. If you know which sort of bits,
that's true. Actually, I definitely got that vibe with a lot of this stuff. Mm-hmm. I think like David Cronenberg is definitely a highlight of this film. I think without him and without that sort of, I guess you call it a side plot.
Yeah.
Although, kind of like a side plot.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like the.
Without him, I think this film would have been really, really like cheesy and really Buffy the Vampire Slayer. But he adds this sort of element to it, which I think is really interesting. It's like an iconic look as well, the old button eyes.
Yeah. In the book as well, it's a little bit different. It's like an extra layer that they weren't able to get across in the film.
Yeah. No, I'm about halfway through the book, and so far it feels pretty similar to the film, but maybe that's because I watched the director's cut. But yeah, there's a couple of extra little tidbits.
Well, it's got like the mask. I don't know. Maybe I won't spoil. I think like there's a.
Don't spoil the book for me, mate.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'll maybe spoil a little bit, but don't worry. It's not like a big spoiler. It's just a. Is that in
there? I'm all right.
Okay.
I'm a big boy.
Okay. We've got Craig Sheffer is the main dude, Aaron Boone, who I recognise him from something, but I don't know what. Maybe it's just this.
He was in this film, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He was in this film.
And Bobby? Don't recognise her, the girlfriend character.
No, I don't think I recognise her either.
David Cronenberg.
David Cronenberg, yeah. I wonder how and why he became like involved in this film as an actor.
Yeah, it's weird, is it? He always comes across in our interviews as a quite cold person, but he seems quite hammy in this in a sort of fun way. Still has a cold clinicalness to him, but it works for the character.
So obviously, he's had small roles in some things, hasn't he? Like he was in The Fly, like in a little dream sequence. He's like the gynecologist, and Videodrome as well. He's like he's uncredited as something or someone.
Yeah.
So yeah, before this, he kind of dabbled in being on the screen, but yeah, I guess this was his first like big role.
Yeah, he's good.
Maybe they swapped roles. Yeah. Yeah, he's great.
Who else we got? Charles Haid as Police Captain Eigenman. I think he's in the latter half of the film. There's a lot of characters in this film actually. There's like a whole sort of. It's a bit of a like a Hollyoaks soap opera, this film. Like, it feels like there's a lot of...
Well, the police captain kind of appears about halfway through and then becomes, like, one of the main sort of antagonists.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really weird.
There's another character who... Well, there's quite a lot... I mean, there's a lot of demons, but there's maybe a couple who show up a few times. Narcisse. He has, like, a removable face. Although, I don't know if he has, because he only removes the side bits. Like, the face bit is the same. True.
The face bit's still there, yeah.
There's a guy with like dreads who's like a vampire man who...
He's
like a vampire pirate.
He kind of looks like Ivan Ooze. Looks like Ivan Ooze from Barry. There's a weird one who looks like a sort of porcupine.
Yeah.
And I find there's a really odd bit. I guess we'll get into it, but there's a really, really odd bit where she kind of like tries to be all sexy and like some men, police officers, like go... Oh, there she is. Oh, look at her. It's like, she's fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
She's like got no nose. She looks terrifying. She's like got spikes all over her. And she starts being all sexy. You wouldn't go, oh, yeah, I'm into this. Come on in. Let's go for it.
Maybe they've got a thing very about true. Cactuses. I don't know. Or.
Yeah. Little pricks.
Yeah. I mean, there's tons of demon characters. There's also, what's his face shows up? Doug Bradley. As I think his name is Lylesworth or something. He's a guy, instead of pins on his head, he's got eyes. Eye head.
Yeah. That's right. No pins, he's got eyes. And he's got he's like the acolyte and lawgiver, apparently. Is he the one with little scratches on his face?
Yeah, but the eyes, aren't they? They open up at the end.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I just thought they were scratches, and I just thought, give him a little dab with a flannel, because they're
you're leaking.
Bleeding.
Yeah.
You're leaking everywhere, you mug.
Who else? There's a guy with tentacles that come out of his belly button. There's another guy who I can only assume his special power is that he, or his special thing is that he has like tattoos. And he's a little weasel man.
A little guy with a dog as well.
Yeah.
Basically, all of the Nightbreed, there's no consistency to how fucking weird they are. Some of them are like literal abominations, and other ones are just like humans but with a bit of a weird addition.
But there does seem to be like some that are types of species though, aren't there? Some that like
it's messed up.
we start the film it's like a dream sequence, but it's got a sort of Nightmare Before Christmas song going on. Oh, that's Home Alone. It's got something that's a bit that sort of way. And there's some of them doing cartwheels. I don't know why they're doing cartwheels. This is the thing. I don't like it when people are doing backflips for no reason. People should not be doing parkour in a horror movie. Like,
this ain't JLS, is it? This JLS on stage.
The X Factor one? Divinity or something. They've got the little kid with the afro.
Diversity. Yeah. Diversity.
Yeah.
It's got talent, actually, Luke.
Okay, whatever.
Come on.
But it's got like the start opening sequence is like, what's his name? Boone is having a dream of Midian, but it's like diversity is sort of chasing him.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got an afro.
That would be scary.
He'd be terrifying.
It's the bloody little kid with the glasses. He's after me.
Yeah.
Midian! It's all pretty messed up. He wakes up, doesn't he?
He does. So he lives in like a nice attic with his girlfriend, who's a singer in a like an 80s pop band.
Yeah, there's a really weird bit where we get to see her perform, but we get to see way too much of it. We get to see like the whole song.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think the song's even during the end credits as well. Is this song, have they got like the rights to this song and they're just like, we're really going to drag it out?
Yeah.
We're going to make the most of this.
It's either that or more. Diddle it, diddle it.
Yeah, they've just got the Home Alone soundtrack.
So Boone is getting the impression that he's got a troubled past. He's got a six pack.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
As well. A triple pass down a six-pack is always the right ingredients for a hero in a film. But he's got like, why does his girlfriend want him to go see the doctor? You were saying Midian in your sleep again. It's time for you to go. Who's Midian?
I'd be like, Midian, that's like a brand of symbol, isn't it? I was like, what are you saying that for? But, it's not. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's not, but it sounds like it.
Savior or something.
So they're like, get yourself to the psychotherapist. His name's Philip Decker, and he's a lovely bloke. And he's got a load of photos of grisly murders he wants to show you for some reason.
Yeah.
What's the reason?
Why? Well, especially says, I want you to come around. I need to show you something. I'm not going to tell you what. I'm going to be super ominous about it. So get worried now. And then either flashes back.
Yeah, I hate that.
Or
hate
he
that.
Goes out. He puts on the mask and goes slashing. Like it's like a old school slasher film where he goes to like a family, slashes them up, and takes some photos. And then when Boone turns up, he says, "Look at what you've done." Look at what
you've
done.
Yeah, you'd be like, hang on a minute, that wasn't me. And you go, no, you've done this.
He pushes
you've done
his
this,
nose,
you mug.
Like, you know, like people push dogs' nose into the piss. Look what you've done.
With the photos of the people he's brutally murdered.
Look at what,
yeah, look what you've done. Yeah. He's really convincing, though, because like he tells him, he's like, look what you've done. He's like, no, I didn't do it. And he goes, I think you've done it. He goes, maybe I did do it.
Yeah, and then
he's just so
and then he trumps.
Easily convinced.
That was you as well.
I don't think it was. It bloody was. And it fucking stinks. Stinking up my office. You sicko.
Look at what you've done. Okay. And then, you said they'll give you like 24 hours notice or time to run away. Or something. I can't remember.
I'm clean.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to the police, but I'll give you 24 hours to come clean, you mug.
Yeah.
But then he drugs him, doesn't he? He drugs him with he discloses it's lithium.
Okay.
He says, have a bit of lithium. This is sort you out. This will level you. And it turns out to be LSD, which I can imagine is tricky for somebody.
Okay. And then he gets ran over. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he gets like flattened by a truck and taken to hospital. What a klutz, eh? Yeah. What a klutz. Get yourself, you've got so much to worry about. Oh, no, it's a truck.
I mean, it's amazing, really, because he gets taken to the hospital and placed in a bed next to the man shouting about Midian. It's kismet.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a coincidence, isn't it? Did you say Midian? Did I say what? Yeah. So this guy is Narcisse. He's off his nut. He's convinced that Boone is there to test him. And then he gives Boone directions to Midian and then thinks he's got to do something to prove himself. So he tears the skin off his face to show his true face.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it looks the same as his current face, because when we see him again, he's all right.
I tell you, the face isn't removable, isn't it? That's the bit that stays the same. It's all the other bits. And his hair, it's got like a mullet as well that doesn't seem to come off. But yeah, he's screaming.
It's glued on.
He's screaming, I'm a Midian man. Then everyone runs in, the police turn up. Dr. Deckard turns up as well. And he's like, look.
Dr. Deckard. He seems to be allowed to go anywhere at any time.
Dr. Dickhead. He's just like,
Dr. Bloody Dickhead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But by this point, Boone's a bit more convinced about Midian. But Dr. Deckard chases him out. Bad boy. Chases him out of the hospital. Look at what you've done. You've done this about the dead.
You've done this. Face. I haven't done it. You have. Yeah. And you trumped again. You dirty, rotten bastard.
Arrest that man.
After him. We can't arrest a man for farting. Are you well?
Yeah. So the chase Boone out of him. He goes to the big graveyard. Like a giant graveyard.
It's like a giant graveyard, but when they get into the graveyard, it's basically a TV set from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah, yeah. It's where she goes hunting vampires. Yeah.
It's where she goes, yeah, and why wouldn't you?
I mean, to be fair, Buffy's like a late 90s, this is late 80s. So, I mean, it's ahead of its time, for sure.
Yeah, well, this celebrated 40 years of being being a film recently.
That's actually insane. Yeah, that is actually insane. I can't remember.
No, apologies. 30 years of being a film.
I think that was originally
that was the reason we mentioned this to do this, because of the 30 years. And so did you say you've seen this before?
I've seen it a few times. Yeah.
Okay. So I don't think I've seen it. But again, I'm familiar with a lot of the visuals. I just don't think I've actually sat down and watched it. My bad.
Yeah. Okay. So around this point, how are you feeling about it?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cheesy. I thought it was pretty over the top, but I was kind of enjoying it. I watched it, me and my girlfriend watched it. We were kind of like just laughing along to various things and, shit talking it. You know, when you're just shit talking a film going, oh, yeah, look at these bloody idiots. Look at these idiots. Oh, yeah.
Hate watching. You were hate watching it.
I don't know about hate watching. I didn't want to hate in it. I was just enjoying the over the top nature of it and the cheesy stuff and the ridiculous characters.
It's like when we were watching Freddy vs. Jason and every time Freddy went flying off the screen. That happened like five times.
That was fun. That's weird. Yeah. Good time.
It blinks in the distance. Okay. So he goes to Midian and he finds all the demons, but they're like, yeah, but you're not a demon. And he's like, oh, well, whoops.
There are two demons like, come up behind him and go, oh, yeah, come here then, you knob. And then they go, oh, we can smell. You smell like bloody human.
Yeah.
And he goes, nah, I've done a few murders. I'm a bloody monster. But the dreadlock one like says he smells his innocence and attacks him. There's a dreadlock guy, and then the other one, Kinski, who's got like a face like a crescent moon.
Of course, yeah. Why? I mean, if you're going to make a monster up, why would you go, he's a sort of, there's lots of pirate-looking people in this film. Sort of a pirate. But he's also a crescent moon for a face.
He's also terrifying. A crescent moon head. His chin, he's got a Bruce Forsyth chin. and a forehead.
I feel like if they were going to do all these monster stuff, don't show them off as openly so soon. Because they're doing cartwheels within the first 2 seconds. And like, if you're going to keep the tense, you need to hide something.
Basically, they just hired a load of gymnasts. They didn't have any actors. They couldn't get any actors in. They just went, we got a load of gymnasts in. They're going to have to do backflips. Oh, we want them to do some acting.
We've got Pinhead, but he hadn't brought his pins. We just have to use his head.
We have to use his head and put some scratches on his face.
That's his best feature, his head.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they should bury the lead at least a little bit. But they're right out there. What's his name? It's like, I'm going to chase you. And then Boone's like, no. And then Peloton, that's his name. Peloquin, yeah. Okay, so he chases him, and his dreads are shuddering through the, like, it's all nice. He probably does a cartwheel or some sort. He probably does.
He does.
That guy.
He's a backflip. I think he does.
Why? Yeah. So
he's like, I might be scary, but I'm also very, very athletic. Acrobatic.
Yeah, yeah. But he's great on a pommel horse, that one.
Yep.
Okay, so he...
not long after this, Boone escapes and he leaves. He goes, right, maybe that Midian ain't for me.
He gets bitten. He gets bitten on the neck as well.
Ah, that's right, yeah.
He gets infected. Yeah.
Yep.
But then he escapes.
Gets infected with the Midiona virus.
Yeah. And he gets shot. Fuck. He gets out. But Dr. Decker's like, I'll speak to him. He's got a gun.
He stitches him right up, doesn't he?
Yeah. So he gets shot to death. Gets taken to the morgue. The morgue people are taking the bullets out, and they're like, "Wow, they really they killed the shit out of this guy. He's definitely not coming back alive.
This guy's dead as fuck."
Yeah.
Yeah. And basically, they say, "What else do they say about him being dead?"
Oh, he's dead.
Isn't
he really dead this way?
Yeah. I think they say. Yeah, he's dead. But he returns to life in the morgue.
And just leaves. Yeah, he's dead.
And I think someone does go, oh, shit! At some point.
Yeah. Yeah, he's dead. You can take him away. They need to take him to the morgue to confirm. So he runs away. I don't know if he does anything. He just gets out. He doesn't attack anyone, does he, or anything?
No, he just runs away. Does his face start transforming at any point?
Don't know. I'm gonna say
does his forehead do this?
That's the Buffy thing as well. When your forehead,
yeah, when your forehead wrinkles,
your forehead
is he
hardens.
A vampire? His forehead's wrinkled to fat. That's what you get. You go.
I think I was watching Hell's Kitchen, and I'm pretty sure Gordon Ramsay's a vampire.
Yeah.
Not his head, but his
around,
chin.
I
think Gordon Ramsay's
Sarah
chin
Michelle
is a Geller vampire.
Would have come in.
She would have liked. She would have said, "You need to cook this steak," and then she would have shoved the steak right into his chin. Yeah.
And he would have gone, "It's raw."
Yeah. Fucking raw. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Fucking raw, you bastard.
Gordon Ramsay does look like one of the not the normal demons, but one of the bosses. He looks like he's one of the big bads of the season. Season 1 or 2, terrifying. Not one of the later ones. When he got a bit of budget. What happened? Okay, I'm losing my mind. Boone goes back to Midian and they welcome him with open arms.
So Narcisse is there with his face off. And he has like an initiation ceremony, doesn't he, where he's got to like down a 5 different pints, cider, lager, stout, lemonade, and milk. And he just chunders everywhere, and they go, he's fucked it.
I feel like that ceremony was meant to be like a huge deal, but it was like just in a back room. And it was like 4 people. It was like... Yeah.
Is anyone else coming? Is anyone else turning up to this? Nope.
No, we should just carry on. Just get on with it, mate. But like later on, like there's the Midian. Well, okay, so we'll come back to those bits in a minute. What's the face? The girlfriend starts doing a bit of PI work, and she starts to hunt him down. I don't know why she knows he's still alive. Well, he escapes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she goes to Midian. She hangs around with the bar. Starts hanging around with a lady for some reason. This in the book, I feel like this goes on for a lot longer.
I think the lady says at one point, she's crying. She goes, "What are you crying about? Is it money or men?" And she goes, "Well, it's a man. I knew it. It yeah. always is."
And my ice is not maxed out, she says.
My ice is maxed out. It's this coronavirus that's going to happen in 30 years. I just had a bloody... I just had a thought about it.
Yeah. So, but what's his face? He's on the prowl. Deckard is on the prowl.
Of course he's on the prowl, isn't he? Oh, bloody... What's his name?
Deckard. David Cronenberg.
Yeah, Deckard. That's it. So what does he do at this point?
The lady drives Boone's girlfriend down to Midian so she can have a look around. Whilst she's in looking around there, Deckard kills the lady.
When Laurie's exploring the cemetery, she finds this like horrible, dying, weird creature just in the sunlight, doesn't she?
Yeah.
They say, here it says dying wolf-like creature, but is it a wolf? It almost looks like it looks like an alien from that film, Mac and Me. Do you remember that? It was like an E.T. ripoff in the 80s.
Oh, yeah, I used to watch like Mac and Me. Yeah.
Yeah.
We used to think it was good.
You used to think it was good. Yeah, I used to think it was good. I was like, E.T.?
Have you seen
E.T.?
It recently?
Mac and Me is where it's at.
Have you? Yeah. There was Mystery Science Theater. They did it recently.
Oh, really? It's Mac and Me.
There's a bit where he's in McDonald's dancing on the table and everyone joins in. And he's wearing like a McDonald's jumper or something.
At the time, what were you thinking? This is fucking great. This is super.
When I was a kid, yeah. I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with me. So Laurie goes into Midian for some reason. Did she? She goes looking for Boone. She goes into it. Maybe this hasn't happened yet. I don't know. but this is a good moment,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, because when she finds that creature, when she saves it, and another one of the Nightbreed basically says to her, it's Rachel, this woman who can like turn into smoke. But she gets Laurie to bring the creature into the sunlight, and it turns into like a little girl. And the little girl's like, oh, bloody hell, that was a scary time.
Sunstroke.
So she basically just goes looking for Boone, like in Midian, and sees loads of the different monsters. I think Peliquin scares her off eventually by flicking her in the face with his purple dreadlocks.
He does like a crab maneuver. He does a splits, then she runs away. Now look at the angle on this.
Boone does turn up, doesn't he? Boone does turn up. It's a weird bit where she's trying to find Boone and she kind of just sees him in the distance constantly, topless, just going into a different room.
But then
come back!
He's got a teeth for a face, that one.
Yeah.
But it's like, those are cool creatures in that. There's like a fat guy. I think he was just fat. There's
he's nothing to do with this film, was he? He was just a man trying to go about his business, and you went, "There's a horrible creature over there from the world Midian." Just an overweight man.
I think there was there, wasn't
there? How much for the creature effects? How much for the physical, the practical effects for this? Must have been thousands. Oh no, it's just a fat man. Oh, right. Give him a break.
Thousands of pounds worth.
He's lost 4 pounds in the last month.
I'm sure it was just a. There's a guy who was another fat dude, but his face was on backwards or something. There's a lot of like impractical monsters, practical effects, but impractical.
There was a load of weird shit where
you'll not be able to walk around. You can't live like that.
There was like a man
you
made out of
knees.
Fucking...
You're all joints, mate. You can't.
There was a man made out of knees. There was like. It was just like a blob at one point, just like it didn't have a face or any sort of limbs. It was just a blob with some bits, tinfoil on it. I don't know. It was a mad shit.
There was
loads
of mad shit.
If you watch this film under the influence of pretty much any carcinogenic, that'd be it. Done.
Yeah, so she's bouncing around. There's like a bridge. It's like some rooms. there's a guy, what is he doing? He's talking to his tentacles or something. There's, and she goes, okay, so she goes down and she finds, and they're like, he's downstairs. Narcisse says he's downstairs with Baphomet or something like that. Because
yep.
Boone's been doing some bad stuff. He's got to get his wrist slapped. Look at what you've done. Baphomet says exactly the same thing as what Deckard says. Look at what you've done. She goes past it. She nearly gets attacked by, I can't remember the called. They're like super bad demons. And yeah, they're so bad they keep them in cages. Like,
shit, what are they called?
They're big,
I know what you mean,
big bad monster. They look like a fly on, when he's fully transformed. But they're darker. But anyway, like, they're like, berserkers, we're getting, I think, a bit. Something like that.
Yeah, that's it. That's right. You got it. Okay. They're berserkers. They're just loads of... Basically, where even the Nightbreed were like, you look mental.
Yeah.
Get yourself in the cage.
And that guy was made of knees.
All right. Fine. That guy was made of knees. It was two talking knees. Just like that.
You were fucking disgusting looking, you guys. I don't understand you.
It's like loads of creatures. It's like loads of creatures from Labyrinth, but just on acid.
Yeah. But she makes it down and she finds Boone. And she's like, he's like, who's that statue? And he said, don't look, don't look. And he's like, it's just a statue, isn't he? The statue, but he's got like USB cables sticking out of his head into the ceiling or something. He's connected up. Look at that guy. Yeah. He looked like something that would be in Hawkins Bazaar. Like, if you touch it, your hair stands on end. Like, he's one of those sort of gadgets.
Yeah, he's a gadget man. Exactly. He's probably only like $10.99 or something. Great Christmas present.
Yeah, you'd like it. You'd smile when you'd say, thanks, sister, for getting me this, but you wouldn't be that happy about it.
Tam. Yeah. So is Boone like basically transformed at this point?
No, he still looks normal, but he is he's vampire mode now. I think he's meant to be. There's a species that he is now. But anyway, so she takes him out. They go. He's basically been exiled, I guess, from Midian already, and that's the day. And then they go to hotel, but Deckard's been there already and sliced everyone up. As soon as Boone smells blood, that's when he goes vampire mode. They did a good job of recreating the transformation that he described in the book. I thought he like breathes smoke and the smoke kind of changes face and stuff.
Yeah, that's right. So Deco has pretty much killed everybody, but immediately called the police like a little snitch and basically said, look, here's where Boone is with his missus, get in there and sort him out before he kills anyone else. So there's loads of times where Deckard just loves getting Boone shot to shit.
Yeah.
He's just like, shoot him again.
So
and this, some weird things happen now where like a couple, I'm halfway through the film, but a couple more like characters get introduced and they pretty much play a really big part for the rest of the film, don't they? There's like
the
police chief.
Yeah.
Police chief and then like the priest. Very strange.
Yeah. Okay, so I mean, we're coming towards the end of the film, aren't we? Really, I mean, it's like we're coming towards the big battle.
It's probably like about halfway through, but yeah,
we're on Endor, I think, and like
final third.
Yeah. Okay, so Boone is in prison with the priest, not in the same cell. He's meant to be a cannibal, super big serial killer. At some point, they realize that he's dead. So they're freaking out. Deckard's trying to convince everyone about Midian and the demons there, because Deckard now wants to kill all the creatures in Midian.
Yeah, he wants to murder all. He just loves doing the murder, doesn't he? Old Bullet. What's really weird is when you see Button Eyes Man just like in the cold light of day. Like a few times when he turned up earlier in the film, like at night time or going to people's houses. But there's a few times you see him like in daylight chasing after people, and it's like, I don't know, it kind of loses its impact.
Yeah,
he's got a scrotum for a mask.
Yeah, he needs to. Again, they show too much. I think is the problem. They should be hiding things a bit more. Okay, so what? So six. Yeah.
So they basically organise a big battle, for some reason. So Decker basically urged the police to form like a militia, like loads of the police, a drunken priest as well. He gets involved for some reason. His name's Ashbury. And they all go to Midian to basically wage war on the monsters on the Nightbreed. Where Boone goes back to the Nightbreed and convinces them that they need to stand and fight. Because, mm-hmm. you know, otherwise they're going to get moided.
Yeah, yeah. The fight, I mean, it's big. It's kind of tragic because as you kind of realize that all the Midian people, they're just like normal people, but they eat people. They're just like normal like people.
Women and children as well.
Yeah, yeah.
They're just like normal people, but they eat normal people. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
They're all dying. I guess the tragic one is the guy, he's got the kind of short, weaselly guy. They drag him into the sun and they just kind of watch him explode.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sad.
Yeah, it's not pleasant, is it? Bless him.
But Boone is like the leader against the militia. He's helping everyone. A lot of the demons get some good bits. Pelequin does another somersault.
Yeah, that's basically all he wanted to do was get a somersault in.
Yeah.
And he's right, I'm fine now, I'll die.
There's a guy with tentacles and they take out some guy's eyes. There's that bit you're talking about, the porcupine lady. She shoots some darts. That sexy porcupine lady shoots some darts.
So basically, she tries to like distract a couple of the police officers by being all sexy and going, oh, look at me. But she's a terrifying porcupine monster.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I know each to their own, but at least three police officers there are all into sexy porcupine woman. I feel like it's too much of a niche, too much of a fetish.
Maybe it's the pheromone thing. Maybe she's like a poison ivy sort of thing. So what goes, I mean, hey, shit, it just goes crazy. The things are exploding. Deckard is now chasing Laurie around the graveyard at the same time. There's a lot of explosions. There's, I don't know. At some point, what's his face has to let out the berserkers, and they they're like a nuclear weapon. They sort of explode out of the ground.
Yeah.
I mean,
remember that bit in the Streets of Rage when you were looking like up against it, and then you pressed A, and the police turned up and shot like a rocket, and it killed all the enemies. That's pretty much what these berserkers are. They basically press A.
Yeah. I don't know, man. So Boone and Deckard go into Midian. They're like chasing and fighting and scrapping.
Yep.
I don't know. How does Deckard die?
I can't remember how Deckard dies. I think Boone kills him. But I can't remember exactly how it happens.
Yeah.
Don't you like just strangle it? They're fighting a lot. There's a lot of like them hanging over the edge of ledges.
Mm-hmm.
Just almost dying. I think Decker just falls. Doesn't he fall to his death? He gets his mask taken off.
Yeah.
Button-eyes mask. Falls to his death. Yeah. Then Baphomet. So basically Boone faces Baphomet. And he says that Boone's calls the end of Midian.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been foretold, so that's all right. And he basically says you've got to find a new home for the Nightbreed, and your name is no longer Boone, your name is Cabal. And he goes, oh, look, it's Boone. Yeah. It was nice.
Now it's Cabal. Cabal. Henry Cabal.
Now Cabal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's also the priest who wanders down. He doesn't really have much of a part to play. He wanders down into, and he sees Baphomet, and he gets splashed with some goop. There's two different... Yep. I seem to remember him doing something different in the original ending. The director's cut is a little bit different. I don't know. So they all sort of run away, or the police all give up or something. The fight ends.
I think they just... The police just get overwhelmed, I think. I think a lot of them end up dead, and I think a lot of them end up just running away because the berserkers go mental. Do they get the berserkers back in, or do the berserkers just go running off into...
That's into it. They've gone. They're off.
The distance.
Yeah, yeah. Benton! Oh, Jesus Christ. You're not getting them back.
Jesus Christ, Benton! Berserkers! Come back, berserkers! They're not going to come back, are they? They're gone forever.
Yeah.
You call them berserkers for a reason. We can't control them.
Yeah.
They're like the velociraptors at the end of the latest Jurassic World film. They're gone to exist amongst the human beings. Sorry.
I've not seen that. So kind of wrapping it towards the end. In the original, I think pretty much sure it ends there, but in this new one, the whole idea is that Boone is now going to lead them to a new Midian at some point. He's going to find them a new home, but they don't know when that will be. Eon made it, and then he's going to make something new. And that's it. I think it changed a bit. There was a new bit of Ashbury, the priest, in this director's cut, where he said it's like his mission now, because he was all malformed. His mission was now to destroy the Nightbreed. Yeah.
Yeah. And he brings Decker back to life, right? You know, the post-credits bit. Mm. Maybe that's not in the director's cut. Maybe that was in the original cut.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah, okay, so it ends there. And do you want some trivia?
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
Yes, please.
It's a bit of a different one. I'm going to give you 5 Clive Barker short stories or titles of film stories he's done, and you tell me if they are real or not. Number 1.
Okay. Very nice.
The Yattering and the Jack. Clive Barker.
The Yattering and the...
Clive Barker or Clive...
Snarker. Clive Barker?
Yes, The Yattering and the Jack is a Clive Barker story from the Books of Blood. Sex, Death and Starshine.
Sex, Death and... let's say no. I bet it sounds a little bit different to that.
That one is Clive Barker again. It's another Clive Barker. Number 3.
I'm sorry. Why are you doing this? I'm just looking at pictures of the Nightbreed in some sort of weird photo shoot. And my God, it's harrowing. I'll send them to you.
Okay. Number 3, Rawhead Pecks.
No, that's not right. It's what's his name? Rex.
Yeah, it's pretty bit easy this. Yeah. 4, the big.
What is it actually?
The Rawhead Rex.
Rawhead Rex. Yeah, yeah.
Number 4, the big bad foreskin.
It's not him, is it?
It's not Clive Barker. It's Clive Corker.
Big bad foreskin.
Number 5, the skins of the fathers.
Clive Barker.
It's Clive Barker. Well done. Okay, I've got a couple more. I've got one more trivia bit I can throw in there to add a bit of flavour.
Okay.
What film did David Cronenberg write the screenplay for during the filming of this film?
Was it a film he directed?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
It was a film he directed. Yep. So was it the... I was trying to think about what you would have done around this time. The Dead Ringers?
No, afraid not. Do you want another go?
Let's have another go. Was it... No, I'm not sure. I'm thinking about what he's directed. Why can't I think? Was somebody directed? You said yeah.
Yeah, he directed it. Yeah.
Did he write the screenplay for? Let's say, I don't know. History of Violence. No.
I don't know if he wrote
History of Violence. That was years later, but you know.
It had RoboCop in it.
Oh, fucking hell!
I'll tell you, it's Naked Lunch.
Naked Lunch.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, I didn't realize that was for some reason in my head. Naked Lunch is like years before this. It's like the '80s, but it's not.
Yeah, 1991. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So Matt, I mean to rate the film. Yes. What do you think about it?
Yeah, I mean it's a fascinating enough. I enjoyed the story. That's why I've gone and sort of read the book. But I think some parts of this film feel a bit. They do feel a bit Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And they do feel a bit, you know, the monsters, like, they lost all impact for me because there were so many utterly ridiculous looking monsters just over and over and over again. I was a bit like, what am I watching? What is going on? Like, there's no build to it, and like, that's why it didn't seem scary. It wasn't particularly, you know, I wouldn't feel particularly invested in the story of the characters. Like Boone, I didn't feel like I cared what happened to Boone. Yeah. I didn't feel like I cared what happened to anyone. David Cronenberg's characters, Decker, I think it was good, but perhaps needed a bit more. I mean, that's why I kind of like feel like I wanted more from the story. That's why I went and watched. That's why I've gone and read the book. But I'd probably give it a C+.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
That's probably quite low, but I think I'm gonna have to go for that.
I mean, I'd struggle to think this film if you're watching it fresh. I don't know if it would have the same impact as someone who sort of has a nostalgia factor to it as well. I mean, I've definitely softened on this over the years. I think when I watched it years ago, I was really, really into it. But it's the cheesy factor that puts me off. As soon as someone starts doing somersaults and cartwheels, it just puts something about that does not sit right with me. I just don't understand why.
It feels a bit Power Rangers.
It does, yeah.
I know. I mentioned Power Rangers already, but it feels a bit Power Rangers. As soon as someone starts doing I start thinking Power Rangers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I mean, that does put me off a bit. I mean, I'm going to go with a B-. But I've got to say, I don't know if maybe
B-.
We can never walk through the same river twice. So maybe in 10 years' time when I watch this again, I'll be have a different mind.
About 10 years' time. Are you looking forward to this? Are you looking forward to 10 years' time? Do you reckon we'll still be alive and kicking?
Well, no. But there'll be a TV show, Nightbreed TV show at some point, hopefully. Maybe. And it could work quite well. Or, I mean, maybe they'll do the whole Riverdale thing and they could do that. They could.
Oh, yeah.
And it would work.
Yeah. Maybe. I'd be interested. I think if they made a TV show, they'd have to really, you know, sort out the monsters. Because, I mean, I'm sure for 1990, the monsters were great in this film. But now, looking back at it, you're a bit like, my God, there's a load of messed up shit in that. There's even a guy in it who's just like, you know, the guy who's got tentacles coming out of his stomach.
Yeah.
Just looks like Johnny Vegas. Just like Johnny Vegas in makeup.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Wait, yeah. So you sent me that picture? I want to see.
Oh, what, of all the... I'll send them to you. So basically there's a photo shoot with loads of cabal.
Yeah, cabal creatures too far out in the open. Why? And I don't know, they're just not scary enough. I don't know. We're asking too much, I guess. But Crescent Head was a step too far in the wrong direction.
Yeah, Crescent Head was a bit mad. Ivan Ooze was a bit nuts. The man made of knees, the sexy porcupine woman.
The overweight man.
Everything was just a bit too rubbery and weird looking, I felt. I mean the porcupine woman looked great, but again, everyone kind of looked a bit like Buffy, but also like the Star Trek TV show.
I would love to see is Guillermo del Toro do a Nightbreed TV show, like an 8-episode Nightbreed TV show with his sort of monster design aesthetics, like the Pan's Labyrinth looking monsters, because he does dark fantasy to such a good point. Whereas I feel like Clive Barker has the imagination, the stories are great, but I don't feel like in this point in time he was able to create the sort of the right visuals for the monsters. But yeah, I mean, it's a fun film. I think you'll have fun watching it. I think anyone would. But there were two steps from doing a flying kick. They were just about to start doing like blocking punches like that and stuff, and I was like, nah, it's not for me.
Yeah. I mean, as I said, I'm just looking at them now, and the monsters, they range from being utterly ridiculous and nonsensical to being just like, one of them just looks like Ozzy Osbourne with bug eyes. And everyone just looks like just a homeless man. Another one looks like the demon, the devil, Tim Curry's character from Legend, but with black skin instead of red.
Oh yeah, okay,
remember that guy?
Yeah, he hung around.
It's almost like the monsters. Some of the monsters are like literal monsters that you would recognize from, you know, fantasy.
Yeah,
like an actual demon with horns and stuff, and the other ones are just like a man with bad skin.
Yeah, yeah. He's just got bad skin.
He's messed up.
Yeah,
he's just got bad skin, and you can't be one of the monsters. Well, I'm gonna be.
All right. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Let you off.
We've done Candyman. We've done Hellraiser. We've done Nightbreed.
Yeah.
I would still like.
So next week. Yeah. Go on.
Like I said, I still think we could do a bit of a Clive Barker. What's the film? There's some of the Books of Blood. There's the Midnight Meat Train film. There's the one about
Midnight Meat Train. Yeah.
Dread. There's Dread, which I think is really good. Yeah, there's still some good ones out there. And I think there should be more.
There's more Hellraiser to do, is there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Nice. So next week, I know we didn't have a major plan, but do you fancy doing something that's probably a bit topical?
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
and by topical, I don't mean a film about a virus outbreak. I just mean about, you know, a lot of people are self-isolating. A lot of people are staying indoors. You know, if they're using that time to listen to this podcast, then that's lovely. I'm glad to hear it. Can't think of a better way. You're yawning right now.
I'm tired.
Even why? I'm tired. Even Luke Condor's bored of this shit. And I don't blame him. But yeah, so we discussed maybe doing Eli Roth's Cabin Fever, considering people may be self-isolating. That could be a topical one to do. A bit of fun with it, mate. Yeah? The 2002 Cabin Fever, which I kind of remember quite liking.
Yeah, I liked it. I'm just looking at these pictures. I've just seen that Ozzy Osbourne guy with the big eyes.
Yeah. It's just an Ozzy Osbourne guy with
Bozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, and there's another guy who's like just got a blue face with a singular eye in it. These look like, no offense to the people who did the makeup effects, but some of them look like, you know, projects at college or something. You know what I mean? Like makeup project.
Yeah.
You've seen the picture of David Cronenberg and Clive Barker holding those weird MAGA babies, right?
Yeah, I think so. That makes
sense. Yeah, that's a iconic picture. I'm just gonna get a nice little. I'm gonna get a screenshot for you of this and send it to you just to cheer you up. But yeah, we will. I'll share this in the group as well, so everyone can enjoy it. The maggot babies. But yeah, if we do Cabin Fever next week, then
yeah,
that should be fun, shouldn't it?
Sounds good. Cool. And then we'll maybe look at doing a horror gaming episode.
Yeah, we thought about doing like a top five horror game episode, considering like me, you and Andy always kind of touch upon horror gaming. Thought why not make it a little episode. Could be fun. Yeah, very nice.
Cool. Alright, man. Okay, cool. So thanks to everyone listening to the episode. Become a patron over at patreon.com/HawkandCleaver. Thanks to Kovac Kalman for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to the listeners. If you enjoyed the show, please consider rating and reviewing us on iTunes. Come and join the Facebook group. And thanks, my co-host, Ben, for being a right horror dude. Nice one.
Thank you, Luke. And continue to fight the good fight. And good luck in surviving the current pandemic and apocalyptic scenario.
Pre-apocalyptic.
Pre-apocalyptic scenario. We've experienced enough. We've watched enough of these films, mate. We should be able to survive, all right?
We'll see about that. Go.
Good luck out there.
You too. Bye.
Softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time.
That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.